Members, it is the custom and tradition of the Senate that on the last day of our legislative week, we allow our chaplain to bring us a brief message from the Word of God. With us this week, we are blessed to have chaplain and pastor Bill Ledbetter of Fairview Baptist Church in Durant, Oklahoma, a guest of Senator Burkeen. Chaplain.
Thank you, Senator Sykes. I appreciate it. And good morning, senators. It's good to be with you this morning. It's been good to be with you. And I always count it a joy. And I want you to know that I appreciate you very much. And I appreciate your families and all the sacrifice that you make. And I appreciate the fact that you allowed me to come here and share God's word with you this morning. And so let's consider one verse of the Bible this morning, which is James 1, verse 17, which says this: Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadow of variation. Boy, there's a world of stuff in that one verse. That verse teaches us, first of all, to celebrate the creative genius of God, that He is the Father of lights. And that's speaking specifically of His creation of the luminaries, the sun and the moon, which happened on the fourth day of the creation event. The sun is a magnificent thing, positioned 93 million miles from Earth. And God created light to travel at the speed of about 186,000 miles a second, if I'm right. And so that means the light we're seeing now left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. And the Earth is uniquely positioned to rotate 1,000 miles per hour at 93 million miles from the Earth. If we were closer from the sun, excuse me, and if we were closer to the sun, and if the Earth rotated, let's say, only 500 miles per hour, we would burn up. Or if it rotated 2,000 miles per hour, would freeze to death. The reason it's consistent, sustains life, is because it's by intelligent design, and the designer is Almighty God, the Father of lights. So let us celebrate His creative genius today. And then let us celebrate the fact and the truth that every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light. He is the giver of good gifts, isn't He? Hot buttered popcorn and Coca-Cola. A warm towel fresh from the dryer. The back of a horse. Someone said the back of a horse or the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man. I love the sound of a bat cracking on a baseball on a Saturday afternoon, don't you? Cappuccino, man, God is the giver of good gifts. He's the giver also of perfect gifts. And His perfect gift, His all-time perfect gift, is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, part of the Trinity, the triune God. Jesus Christ came to earth in the form of a man, and He came on mission. He came on a mission because God loves you. And God loves you so much, that He wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. He wants you to be forgiven of your sins that separate you from Him. And so in order to do that, our sins had to be paid for, and He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, and His blood pays for our sins 100%, that if we just would repent and come to Him in faith, we can be forgiven and have eternal life when we die and live in the eternal kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. And I love to express it this way, that the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men may become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name today. God is the giver of good gifts. And I want to share this with you today. There's another gift that He's given us. It's a wonderful gift called America. Did you know that America is the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of mankind? U.S. Congressman Bob McEwen is fond of noting the fact that the wealth creation of, let's say, the fourth largest nation in the world, Indonesia, 294 million people, is less than the wealth creation of the people of the state of Louisiana, 4.6 million people. America has known unprecedented liberty, harmony, prosperity, victory on the battlefield, and we still do today. Why? It's the principles. You see, the principles upon which this nation is founded are rooted in the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ. Today, people are prone to say that pastors should never talk about politics. Well, isn't that strange? Alice Baldwin, a historian, she wrote extensively about the founding era, and she documented the fact that all the tenets of the Declaration of Independence came from a sermon preached by a pastor in the churches of the colonial era of the 13 colonies. Can you believe that? All the tenets of the Declaration came from sermons preached by pastors in the colonial era. Someone asked old John Adams, a student did, why we won a war we should have lost. Here's what he said: our pulpits thundered. And so this great nation is rooted in the Bible, God's holy word. Noah Webster said, a brief exposition of the Constitution of the United States will unfold to young persons the source of Republican government. He said it is the writer's sincere desire that our citizens early understand that the correct source of genuine Republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament of the Christian religion. That's why this nation is great. Amen. And this is a great nation because it's rooted in timeless, unchanging, eternal principles that work and bring prosperity and freedom. Let us today resolve in this time to maintain those foundational principles at any cost. And let us today resolve not to vacate those principles for a bankrupt philosophy called secularism that is expressed as political correctness. PC-ness is really something else. PC-ness cloaks its strategy in tolerance, while at the same time it is seeking to overcome the traditional moral values of this nation that support and value family and patriotism and work and liberty and labor and freedom of conscience for all people. PC-ness is a form of tyranny that always creates a double standard. And if I may give you an example, not long ago there were two Muslim truck drivers working for the Star Trucking Company. They were asked by their employer to take two shipments of beer across the country, but that violated their free conscience rights because they didn't want to ship beer across the country as two Muslims. And so they were fired. Well, President Barack Obama put the full weight of his office and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, unprecedented, behind them in their case. The EEOC represented them, filed suit against the company. They won. The company had to re-employ them and pay them $250,000 for the error. And I want to read to you what the lawyer of the EEOC said. He said, "We are proud to support the rights of workers to equal treatment in the workplace without having to sacrifice their religious beliefs. Practicing their fundamentals, which is an American principle of the freedom of religion." That's what he said. Not too long after that, we turned around in this nation, and there was a clerk in Kentucky who refused to sign a same-sex marriage certificate. And folks, we put her in jail. Because you see, PC-ness always creates a double standard. The First Amendment, designed by the fathers, rooted in the Bible, gives everybody free conscience. Do you hear that today? Free conscience. We must commit ourselves to support and maintain those fundamental foundational principles of freedom for all of us to have free conscience. Praise be to God. And then finally, I close with this. In that same verse, the Bible says that God is unchanging. He's without variation. He's without shifting shadow. That means that he's the unchanging God. He hasn't changed. He describes himself as Malachi 3:6. He says, "I, the Lord, do not change." Every day you can hear hundreds of sermons about the grace and the love of God. Rightly so. Hardly any day do you ever hear about the wrath or the justice of God. But God is a God who is just and holy. There's a time that he chastens an individual. There's a time that just as he blesses nations, he also chastens nations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, but there are times when God has to get a nation's attention. The God who judged Sodom and Gomorrah is the God that we're dealing with today. He has not changed. Let's ponder this for just a moment. Will you go back with me 6 months to August, mid-August? I'm going to share something with you and then I'll close. August the 17th, 2017, Hurricane Harvey came on the shore of South Texas. I have driven many of those streets down there where Harvey was, and I was shocked to see water clear up to the red and green lines, the stoplights. That was an incredible cataclysmic event, was it not? Cost us probably $200 billion. August the 17th, August the 30th, Hurricane Irma hit Puerto Rico, cost us $90 million probably. September the 2nd, there was a 5.3 earthquake and swarms of quakes at Soda Springs, Idaho, of all places. Listen with me for just a moment. September and October, 18 million acres burned out west, probably costing us $180 billion, all at the same time. Listen to the closeness and the progression of these events. October the 1st, Stephen Paddock went into Las Vegas and went bananas and killed 58 of our people. A grievous day. October the 31st, a terrorist took a rented pickup, went into a group of people in New York and skating and skateboarding and killed them. November the 5th, Devin Kelly entered a church and wounded 45 people and killed 26. What is going on? Thanksgiving, 44 people died in Chicago, a gun-free zone. We've seen unprecedented situations of leaders falling in the past few months because of immoral activity and so forth. And we're all sinners. We all need Jesus. I don't judge them. I'm a sinner. They're a sinner. You're a sinner. Jacob Cruz, February the 14th, went into a school and killed 17 of our people, our kids. What is going on? What is going on? I'm asking the question. Do we really believe that we can create immorality in our laws? Do we really believe that we can redefine marriage from the Word of God to something in our own mind and there not be a response? Do we really believe that we can tell God to get lost from our schools and our halls of legislation and there be no response? Do we really believe that?
Would you mind bringing that back to
7? We want God to bless us. But God, get your word off our Capitol lawn. Oh, but by the way, God, please make us prosperous. Do we really believe that's how it works? And so listen, God is loving and wonderful and gracious and good, and his long suffering with us is profound. Dr. Tony Evans says, and I close, two quotes. He says, we're under the passive wrath of God right now. Read Romans 1, 16 through 32. This is Dr. Tony Evans. And then Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, very prophetic. She says that she's expecting God to really deal with us in the near future. She says it seems like God is using a great series of cataclysmic events and other events in our country to get our attention because we are immoral, idolatrous, and we're in rebellion to him. And she said this, and we Americans know better. Wow. Well, I think that's something to contemplate as we move forward, and I hope you do too. I've been thinking a lot about it, so I'm asking the question, is God speaking to us? I believe he is. I think the response should be in Oklahoma and across the country. Let's get on our knees and say, Father, we love you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins individually, corporately. And let's ask God to get us back on the right track in this nation. Would you join me in that commitment? God bless you. Would you stand today? Would you all stand today and let's have a word of prayer? And may I say something to you as we close? I love you, and my hands are shaking because I'd rather talk about the love of God. Well, he loves you deeply, but God told me to do what I did this morning. But I love you, and I love him, and I want prosperity and freedom for our people. I want my grandkids to grow up free. I want them to know that Daddy Bill stood on his watch. How about you today? Will you stand on your watch for our grandkids? Would you pray with me today? God, our Father, we humble ourselves before you today. We are grateful for your mercy and your blessings upon this beautiful land and our great state and the great people, the state of Oklahoma. We're grateful for your grace, the gift of your Son, Jesus. We're grateful for your patience with us. We know that, Father, we're a great nation, a big nation, of wonderful people. But God, we also know we have gone astray. Father, help us to return to the fundamental principles upon which we're built. Help us to return to Christ and to you. And oh, Father, please, when we do that, bless this nation like at no other time in history. God, I love you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.